Welcome to the FaithBridge Men's Podcast. This teaching was recorded live on October 24th, 2023, taught by FaithBridge Men's Pastor Danny Hannon. Welcome to the seventh and final week of the Live in Freedom series, a study in Galatians.
There we go. Howdy. All right. Well, man, I wish that I was up here on better circumstances since last night. I don't know about you guys, but actually, I got to share the story, and I promised my wife that I wouldn't, so shh. But when I got home from the mission trip, first thing Jenny asked me was, particularly when I got home Friday night, right? And did we play Friday? I'm trying to think of when that game was. Was it Friday night? Yeah, that was game five, Friday night, right? So yeah. So I walk in the door, and she's like, did you hear what happened? I'm like, well, no. I've kind of been removed. We obviously watched game four as a team, but game five, we're on the road. I hadn't heard what happened yet. And it was my oldest daughter that goes, oh, Dad, Mom was acting like you in the Aggie games. And I'm like, I don't know if that's bad for the Aggies or if it's bad on Jenny, but whatever it is, like this, she apparently, and then Jenny's just getting all fired up all over again. It's like, I was throwing my phone, I'm screaming at the TV. She's like, I don't know what came over to me. And I'm like, well, when you're an Aggie and you're watching your Astros fail, it's like, where's the hope? You know, so that must have been what it felt like. All right, well, I am really excited about the word tonight. And we'll just go ahead and jump right in. Let me do a quick word of blessing, and then we'll get started. Lord, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for these men. Lord, let your spirit just reign in this place. Let your words flow from my lips at this moment right now, and prepare the hearts and the ears to receive whatever it is that you have for them. Get me out of your way. Lord, we love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, you know, last week I love watching Pratik and Hector, and I love the different styles, and I just have really grown to just love Pratik. He's an amazing young man, and he brought us a great word last week on the Holy Spirit, being in step with the Holy Spirit, and I love that he brought in his skydiving video as a reference. And naturally, the competitor I am, I'm like, well, I can't let this guy show me up with a skydiving video up here. So I thought I'd go ahead and play one of my skydiving excursions. Go ahead, Sean, roll the video for me. Wait, that's right. I would not jump out of a plane that went on fire. Nah, not even going there. I did, however, like, I love Pratik, and we did make a bet that I said, look, I'll jump out of a plane with you if you race an Ironman with me. So I think he's going to do it. But really, the better question for all of y'all is, which one of us is going to die first? I think that's really where we'll see. But no, Pratik, thank you for last week, brother. It was awesome. Listen, I want to set the tone for tonight, maybe even share a little bit of my heart, bring you guys along the message writing process, maybe just for a bit. I'll be honest with you guys, 24 hours ago, maybe even 12 hours ago, I had an entirely different message kind of prepared for tonight. And you'll find, like, when we do a study like this, you'll find that teachers, the inclination for a teacher is to want to do a full-on exegesis of the text, right? Verse by verse, you know, extract everything that Paul may be saying. and a little bit of, we've been kind of doing that, kind of mixing in just some basic bullet points. But I started down that road, and this stirring in my spirit was like, this is not really the message that I want to leave us with, knowing that we're closing out our semester together, which, by the way, is sad for me because this has been really, really a great time, and it's already got me excited for the spring. We are going to keep going, guys. Like, that's the momentum we're going to continue to build on. So I was thinking, I'm like, you know what? Let's do kind of a call to action. Right, what is it? What are these final, these points that Paul is leaving us with that's really a call to action? It's basically everything that he has been leading us up to in these first five verses of chapter 6. So that's where we're going to jump into tonight, that I want us to walk out of this place tonight feeling purpose and resolve and knowing where's my place within this body. So we've been listening, we've been hearing all week or all semester, we have freedom, right? For freedom, Christ has set us free. So you have freedom. What are you going to do with it? That's really that question I want you kind of wrestling with. What am I going to do with this freedom? What is my place? What's my purpose? So let's jump in. Verses 1 through 5 of chapter 6. I'll be honest, guys, we're pretty much going to live there. There is more to chapter 6. Please continue going through on your own, but we're going to live in these first five verses. So let me read them together. Y'all follow along. Starting in verse 1, brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each man, each one, test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each man will have to bear his own load. So I got a great, really good friend, a brother, that's actually in this room tonight, that has been toying with the, or wrestling with the growing desire within him to serve our nation within the Special Forces community. And as he and I have been exploring what this might look like for him, there's been things that I've been challenging him to go through, things that we've been talking about, like what is it to go through the selection process? What does his mind frame need to be going in? What does his mind frame need to be while he's in it? And these are things that we've been asking him, right? Is this a pursuit of a passion that he has within him, or is it to pursue some romanticized Hollywood version of like a Liam Neeson, right? Like, is he pursuing something like that, or is it that this is actually a passion within him? Is he seeking selfless service, or is it to pursue glory? Now, you guys kind of see the theme where I'm headed with this. Is his mental resolve to say, I will not quit, or is it really to say, let's see how far I can go? See the difference? And is he there for his brothers that would be there next to him, or is it that he might receive some personal satisfaction, some self-focused? You know, is he going in being self-focused? What can I get out of this? The reason I'm bringing this up is because the same qualifications that it takes to be one of America's elite actually are the same qualifications that it takes to be a true brother in Christ. And that's what Paul's getting at. The same qualifications we'll see in both. Let's jump into the first one. My first point tonight, put it up there. With grace, see and move towards your brother's struggle. With grace, see and move towards your brother's struggle. See, Paul starts out in verses 1 and 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So you ever find yourself in a situation where you're going like, holy crap, man, how did I get here? How did I get here? I have no idea how I ended up in this situation. This is not as I had planned. And now I feel like I'm stuck. I guarantee you every man in this room has probably most likely found themselves in that very situation. Like, how did I get here? This is not where I meant to go. And the truth is if all of us have had that, one of your brothers sitting right next to you literally may be thinking that bubble just went off in his head. And he may know the struggle that he's found himself in. He doesn't know how to get out. He doesn't know how to get out of it. He's stuck in it. So that's what Paul is getting at, is that we're stuck in this moment. Right? I love in Pratik's skydiving video. See, I brought it back. Pratik, I got you, man. I'm going to use that same thing. Why do I need to bring up anything else? I love in Pratik's skydiving video when we clearly see the mistakes he's making. I mean, because we know so much, we're like, oh yeah, that's an awful neutral you found there, dude. You're just in a flat spin, you know. So we clearly see that he's making all these mistakes, but obviously, as he's describing it, we're realizing, oh wait a second, his actions are not indicative of his intentions, right? He had every intention of soaring like an eagle instead of looking like a wounded duck, right? But his intentions were something else than what was actually happening to him, right? He found himself stuck. And this is the same thing that we find, is that we can find ourselves trapped in a sin that we had no idea that we would end up in. That was not our plan. That's not where we started out to get into this. And that's what Paul is getting at. When he says caught in any transgression, when you go back to the Greek, to the original, the root word that we would see, is the original context of this would say overtaken. Okay, that's what we would say, is that overtaken in a transgression. Which would imply that what Paul is getting at is he's saying this isn't about the heart. This is about a mistake, right? I think there's a big difference between the heart problem and a problem that the flesh has just found itself in, a mistake. So when Paul then comes back to us, he says, you who are spiritual, what he's getting at is he's saying, guys, you who have been just filled with grace, you recognize, man, I am nothing apart from the redemption and the restoration of Christ's grace within me. Like, we know that we have that. We are then called to step into that brother and say, look, you're stuck. I get it. I'm not going to leave you there. Right? We're able to see and move towards that. And that there's the grace that's flowing through us. Because if you guys remember, several weeks ago when I said, Grace and legalism cannot coexist. All right, so that's what he's saying. You who are spiritual, restore with a spirit of gentleness. It's all grace, guys. It's all grace. And here's kind of a convicting moment. A brother that is struggling, that is suffering in something, that is stuck in something, here's what it's going to do. It's going to do one of two things. I'll paraphrase what John Stott said. It's either going to, a brother who is stuck in something is either going to reveal the grace within you or the wickedness of legalism, depending on how we treat the sinner. A brother who is stuck, how are we going to treat him? It's going to reveal what's actually going on within us. So I think, can you imagine how screwed Pratik would be if his instructor just left him in that state? I mean, I know he kind of breezed right through it on, like, there's that quick moment where he's like, okay, I found his neutral, and then he rips the cord, pulls the canopy, and it deploys. But I love how he went in before that saying that his instructor began giving him signals, right? Getting his attention again, getting him to refocus, like, calm down for just a minute, focus on me. But instead of that mentality of like, well, that sucks for you, I told you not to do that, like, good luck, like, she didn't leave him there. And so she got him to that moment where at least just briefly he was in neutral that he could pull. Because what I love is he would continue into his story. He'll tell you that had he not found that neutral position, had he deployed the canopy while he's in a flat spin, he would have completely entangled himself into the parachute. That's why this isn't just, you know, see people jump out of a plane. Man, that looks easy. Particularly go, yeah, right. Not so much. Because in that spin, you can get tied up. And then we have a much more dangerous situation on our hands. Right, so the instructor stepped in, didn't leave him there. So now there's warnings that Paul is also giving us with this. When he says, be watchful, brothers, do not be tempted, right, lest you be tempted. So he's saying, okay, guys, you've recognized I got a brother in need, and I'm going to step into that. I'm not going to leave him there. No, I'm not going to leave him in that flat spin. I'll get his attention. But the warning to us is to say, when he says be watchful, there's two things that we can extract from that. Avoid pride, our tendency of going, yeah, that does suck for you, and then walk away. Like, why would we not step into that? We have a tendency when we see somebody else struggling, it almost makes you feel better about yourself. I'll convict myself and say, yeah, there's those moments where you're like, man, I'm not as bad as that guy. Many of us have probably thought that. But the other piece is, it's a warning because we can get sucked into the same trap, the same sin that our brother may have fallen into. And I've got a really good friend who's a pastor at Foundry. And he shares a story how he was counseling a guy coming out of an addiction to pornography. And the guy has made great advances coming out of breaking that chain. And he had a moment of slip where he went back into it, just briefly. But it was a particular website that somehow grabbed his attention and just caused him to start to spiral again. And so he instantly ran to Luis's office and just be like, I need you, brother. I need that prayer. Like, help me. And he was about to share with Luis the website. And Luis goes, stop, I don't need the details. I don't want the details. That doesn't help me help you. Because if you give me those details, the mind and the body still are curious things. And he is more likely, more tempted to be like, I wonder what that website was that actually got my brother to stumble. What is it about this website? So see, we don't need those details. So that was very wise of Luis to say, hold up, I don't need the details to be able to walk you through whatever it is that you're going through. We've got to be watchful. We have to protect ourselves when we step in. So it's saying, do not step into the shame. Pull them out of their pain. Do not step into their shame, but pull them out of pain. That makes sense? So, guys, we got to have our brothers' backs. Pull them and restore them to wholeness. When we see that they're stuck, that's not a chance for us to be legalistic. It's a chance for us to show total grace. All right, point number two, share the burden with love and humility. So this is going to have probably two faces to it. Share the burden with love and humility. So when Paul says in verses 2-3, bear your brother's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks that he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Every man has a weight to carry. Every man has the responsibility of carrying some load, some burden. But what Paul is speaking to in this verse, he's saying the burden that he's referencing, because there's a difference between when he uses his writing, burden versus load. He's saying this particular burden is one that is not meant to be carried alone. It's too heavy to carry by oneself. It's got to be handled in community. Right. So I got a friend who's a retired Navy SEAL, and he uses this story to really explain certain moments of Buds that I love in his stories. He would say it's that moment when in Buds they're carrying their boats, and I don't know if we have a Navy SEAL in here or not, but I know they probably know exactly what I'm talking about. When they're carrying those boats over their heads, right, and they gotta run with them, walk with them. And obviously their instructors are in it just to add that extra weight, just to piss them off, right? Just to make it even that much harder. And they're all carrying it. Well, what the intention here is the whole thing about Buds is say, we're trying to flush out the weakest link, right? We're trying to get rid of the guys who don't have the mental capacity to say, I'm not willing to quit. They're trying to get rid of those guys. So this is naturally one of those moments. It is so difficult. They're waiting for people to quit. So what happens? Inevitably, one guy says, I'm out. Drops his hands. He walks, rings a bell, he taps out. So they've just said, I can't even carry my load, but what they've inevitably done is the man that was standing in front and back of them, their load just got heavier, didn't it? Because now they're having to carry all this without anybody else to help, right? So that's that imagery that I want us to think about here, that we all have a load to carry, a burden to share. It's got to be done in community, right? So what Paul is addressing in this moment is really kind of two things. He's addressing the legalist who would say, man, I don't have time for you. That's not my problem. That's your problem. You're clearly not a Christian, right? I don't have time. I want to focus on myself, right? So that's the guy that's like, you know, nope, I got this. Don't have time for you. I got my own things to worry about. The other thing that he's referencing is the isolationist, the guy who says, I don't need help. I can fix this on my own. So he withdraws. At the end of the day, what you're doing is you're creating everybody's burden just got heavier, right? Especially the guys that are saying, I'm in it with you, I'm in it for this, and if you bail, if you're isolating yourself, I become more exposed by the nature of you leaving, right? I think of like Jay Pemberthy over there. I know he's taller, which means I probably wouldn't even be like a little pinky on the boat. You know, he's carried his piece. But the point is we all have a burden to carry. Some can handle more load, but even if I'm carrying half of what Jay could carry, and I bail on him, and I say, you know what, I'm going to extract myself from this. Good luck, brother. My little bit just added a ton to him. Right? Does that make sense? Like, it just got heavier on him because I'm bailing on him. And so, being that when we pull ourselves back, we say, I just can't do this. I've isolated myself. I've now left both of us exposed. I just made it harder. And then the other thing, when Paul is addressing this whole idea of legalism, that's because he's talking about the law of Christ. That he is targeting them to say, you thought you were following the law? Let me actually show you what the law is. The law of Christ, which we see in John 13, verses 34 through 35, where Jesus said, I give you a new command. And that is to love one another as I have loved you. Right? So we have to step in to each other's struggle. We have to bear that burden. Because that is, in fact, the law of Christ. That we all need help. We all have that burden that we've got to share. We've got to carry that together, and only in community. We all need help. I think of this example of, like, you take a guy that's like, maybe he's struggling, he's stuck, and you know, I mentioned pornography, so let's just use that as an example. If a brother is stuck in that struggle of pornography. There's two approaches to this that I've seen, and it actually really bothers me. It sickens me how we've handled it in the past, some before. But the legalist would say, dude, you're looking at porn? Well, you're clearly not a Christian. You're not a Christian. Because Christians don't do that, right? Like, we wouldn't do that. That's not what we do. So, no, you're out. Whereas the man who is just filled with grace, who is spiritual, as Paul is addressing, he would say, you're looking at porn? I know the struggle of the flesh. Let me step in that with you and pull you out of that. All right, here's my hand. I'm going to walk you out of this mess. We're not going to leave him there. So one of my biggest takeaways for this would be is what we cannot do is we cannot convict a heart issue that was really a flesh issue. Do not convict the heart for matter of the flesh. That's what the legalist is wanting us to do. That's what legalism is. That's that pride that wells up within us. It's like, man, I would never do that, right? Because the reality is like I said, when we go back to that moment where we think of the seals that are carrying the boats, I love this imagery. Because how ludicrous would it be? Even if Jay carries more than I carry, I am still picking up some of the load, right? So let's just pretend for a moment that Jay and I are in the seals together, and he's much taller than me, so obviously it's sagging down a little bit, and I'm trying to carry as much as I can. Even if I have just a little bit, Jay needs me there. He needs me there, even if it's a little. So the mentality that Jay's going to have, which is what the seals have, is they don't want their brothers to quit. They're going to be sitting there going, dude, you got this. Just hang in there. Just hang in there. They're not going to be criticizing them going, man, you're kind of weak. you're short. You're small. You can't do this. They're not throwing those negative comments to them. So if the SEALs, which is an elite community, wouldn't do that, why would brothers in Christ do the same with our brokenness? That should never come from our mouths. Because if I push him away, I've just made it harder on me. I've left myself exposed. Because now, whenever the crap hits the fan for me, where are my brothers? Right? So that's where that community comes in, that we want to be able to encourage one another and say, man, I got you. I'm going to step in this. Well, maybe rephrase that. You don't want to step into it, but you've got that hand that says, man, I'm going to pull you out of this. I'm with you. You got this. Stay with it. Stay with it. Because here's the reality. In both instances, whether you're the legalist that has pushed somebody away and you said, man, you shouldn't be doing that. That's not what a Christian does. You've just isolated that man and he's like, well, fine, I'm out. And then the isolationist who says, I can do this on my own. I don't need community. In both instances, we have left the power of God on the table of his love. Because love cannot move when there's not that community there. When we push somebody away, there's no restorative process. And when they go back to, when they isolate themselves, when you're isolated from your brothers, also there's no restorative process and there's no love that can transfer between the two. We were working, I just thought about this, we were working with a young woman who was experiencing some difficulties and some hard times, and she's not here, right? She's saying, well, I've been praying and I've been reading my script. Well, where are you in community? Because you believe that you're hearing God's word spoken through you, but man, God's word comes alive when we're together, because when you're bouncing ideas off your brother, when you're saying, or your sister, you know, you got this and I got this, you're able to, God can move in that a lot more powerfully than when I'm sitting at home on the couch, right? So that's where we prevent God's love from moving, whether we're the convictor or the isolationist. Don't be either, right? So that's where then Paul said, bear your brother's burdens, right? So we've already looked at saying, see your brothers, see the struggle and move towards them, and then bear that burden as a community. And this is that last piece we'll close with, is take responsibility and pursue righteousness. Now, what do I mean by that? Like, wait a second, I just thought we were talking about bearing each other's burdens. Think of it like a, kind of like the perfect balance, like a perfect rhythm that's happening within the body of Christ, right? That when we are focused on the other person and we're bearing our brother's burdens, that also means that my burdens have been borne. And I love this analogy. You cannot, in grace, bear your brother's burdens without having known what it was to have your burden borne, right? So for me to step in to help people or to rescue somebody from whatever brokenness that they find themselves in, it is only because, man, I have been there. I have been stuck in that same place, and somebody pulled me out. And so now I'm able to do the same because I know what that grace looks like from Christ. It's just like what I love about Marty's testimony, right? That what he was sharing is the start of that week, he revealed something to us, and it's his story to share, so I'm not going to share it, but he revealed something, and that by the end of that week, he realized, man, I have purpose, and I have a role to play in helping other men, because the thing that I struggle with that I kept silent, I kept inside me, that nobody else knew, that he allowed himself to be authentic and vulnerable with the six men that he was with. In that six men, we said, bro, I know men who struggle with that same thing. You have got to reveal how God moved you out of that space, because there are men who are going, man, I don't know how to deal with this. Or maybe it just hit them just recently. Right? So that's how all of that is working together. And the truth is, when Paul says that we all have our own load to carry. He's implying that someday we all will be standing before the throne of Jesus Christ, and we will have an account of our decisions and our actions and our faith. And I don't get to have a brother to hide behind. I have to say, was I willing to step in? Did I carry my load with my brothers? Did I allow that burden to be borne? Was I a part of that restorative process working together? Which also means we can't just wallow in our brokenness. We have to move forward. We joke about, say, don't bring me the same problem over and over again when we keep moving you forward. You've got to be able to move forward. And that's where you can stand boldly. And like he's saying, that I can make an account for myself, and it's not on behalf of my neighbor. That's what he meant by that. That we are going to have to stand there. We don't get to hide behind somebody. So be a part of the process that says, yeah, I carried my load as part of that team. I may have only had this much load compared to Jay Penberthy, but I carried a little bit of it. I did my part because I was in the community. So guys, this is how I'm going to close it out. This is my heart, y'all. And it's not, the truth is, it's not my heart. It's Christ. 100% is it Christ. That this is the vision that God has for men. That's why I'm passionate. Even, you know, when guys know me, it's like, yeah, of course we're passionate about our military, because it's that same mentality. It's, you are in the trench with your brother. You're in it with him. And this is my longing for all of us. This is why when we have 800 men on a Sunday morning, I want 800 men in a Bible study on Tuesday who are able to say, man, I got a brother that I lean on who's got my back at all times. I've got those guys. I got guys who know everything about me that have seen me through my darkest and my brightest times. And I wouldn't have it any other way, which is why I step in over and over for anybody else who needs it. And the only way we do that is in this group. So y'all, I want to challenge you guys to take these 3 points and let that just kind of rest and say, am I carrying my load, or have I walked up to the bell and I tapped out? And I want to challenge y'all to pray. Pray over the men that aren't even here yet. Pray over the men that when we were here last week, I saw a new guy sitting in the back who was like, I just felt like I need to be here. You know what? I got to share this testimony. I'm going off the rails here. This is where my wife would say, shoot the rabbit, so I'll close it up pretty quick. But I got to share this. You know what was really awesome for me last week? We had a new guy. He's not here with us tonight. He's going to be back in the spring. He's coming in for the backyard barbecue, so we're going to get him connected. But you know my favorite moment at that time, when I sat with him for 45 minutes last week just chatting with him, I told 4 other men in our passing about this guy who hosts tables. You know what every one of those 4 hosts said to me? Send him to my table, I want him. Man, that's awesome. That's what this is all about. It's saying, I want that new guy that's out on the edge. We got to bring him in so that they have a home. So that's what I want you guys to walk out with tonight. So feel free to discuss all that, but let that just be like, man, I got a home, and I got a purpose. I'm carrying a load, and I'm bearing my brother's. All right? So let me pray for us, and you guys jump into your table times. Lord, I thank you so much for tonight, and I thank you for this word. Lord, I thank you for these men, for these brothers that I get to stand with. That's what's so exciting about everything that we do. I thank you now that you would just, I ask that you would just move in these tables right now. Let these men find that spirit of just grace and mercy, and that it may flow to their brothers, and that they would continue to move wherever they go from here. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We praise you for your son and the new life that we have in him. And it's in his name we pray.